Okay, today's daf is Shabbat daf Kuf. We are at the very bottom of daf Tzadi Tet Amud Bet. We're going to have to stop a little bit short today, and we'll make it up tomorrow. Amar Rava Pshitali Mayim Al Gabe Mayim Hainu Hanachatan. Right, it's obvious to me that water upon water is considered at rest. Right, meaning if you transfer water and it lands on other water, that's considered hanacha. It's considered at rest. Egos al gabe ma'im lav hainu hanachatan. However, if you put a nut down on water, that's not considered like the nut is at rest. It's not a, considered a natural resting place for it. By Rava, egos b'kli v'chli tzaf al gabe ma'im mahu. So, if you have a nut in a vessel of some sort, and then the vessel is in the water, what's the deal there? Is that considered a hanacha? Mi amrin batar egos aslinan v'hanaich. Oh, dilma batar kli aslinan v'halonaich. Right? Do we look at the egos? Do we look at the nut and we say, well, the nut is resting within the cup? Or do we look at the cup itself and say the cup is on the water and therefore it's not at rest? Teku, right? So we don't know the answer to that question. Shemen agave yayin machloket Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri v'Rabbanan. Okay, so when it comes to oil on top of wine, by the way, if it sounds familiar, it's because we saw it in the first parak. A similar idea is if you have oil on top of wine, which naturally separate themselves, that's a machloka between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Rabbanan, right? Which is very similar to what we were talking about in terms of liquids resting on top of other liquids, whether we see them as together or whether we see them as on top of each other. Ditnan, shemen shutzaf al gabe yayin v'nagat tevul yom b'shemen lo pasal ela shemen, right? So someone who is tame touches oil that is resting on top of wine, he only makes tame the oil itself, but not the wine, because the oil is considered to be on top of the wine and not one thing with the wine. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer Shneim Chibur Zelazeh, right? Because they are connected, they are both going to be tamei. Amar Abaye Bor Berushut Rabim Amuka Asara V'Rach Vashmona, right? So a pit in the Rishut Rabim that is that has a depth of 10 tvachim and a width of 8 tvachim, exactly twice the normal width that it would need to be. V'zarach Tocha Machatzelet Chayav, right? He threw in it a mat, and that mat parts it perfectly into 4 and 4, but I guess when you consider the width of the mat itself, it'll be slightly less than 4 and slightly less than 4, in which case you now no longer have a place that would be chayav for the domain, and therefore it would be a question as to whether or not you would be chayav, but the Mishnah says you are chilkav machatzelet pater. If you just throw it into the pit, then it's going to be chayev. But if you divide it perfectly down the middle, it's putter because you no longer have a domain that you'd be chayev for transferring into. Right? So if you remember, we were talking about if you add an additional clump of dirt that takes out a tefach from the pit, meaning adds a tefach to the pit really and decreases it. Right. So we were discussing that case, and now we're saying that that according to Abaye, since the machatzel it serves to cancel out the domain that you can be chayav for transferring into. I mean, by just putting a mat there, you already render this area not an area that would be chayav for transferring into. All the more so, according to Abaye, in the case where you're adding dirt, that would make it into a place of 9 tfachim that you're not going to be chayav for putting that dirt into. I guess because the dirt is really considered to be a fixed part of the pit. The pit is now itself less than 10 tfachim, as opposed to the pit with a mat in it, is just a pit being divided by an outside thing. So if you hold that a mat is able to divide it in half and render it not the domain that would be chayav for, and therefore you're not even going to be chayav for putting the mat in there, all the more so Abaye would say by putting the dirt in there, it's going to not going to be chayav. Rabbi Yochanan, who asked the question regarding the adding the dirt in, he wasn't sure whether or not adding the dirt in and making the pit smaller would make you not chayav for putting the dirt in that pit in the first place. So all the more so when it comes to a machatzelet, he would seem not to believe that this would actually nullify the pit's a qualification for being chayav by transferring into it. V'amar Abaye, bor b'shut Rabim amuka asara v'rachva arba melea mayim v'zarak l'tocha chayav. Right, so if you have a pit that's a proper size pit and it's filled up with water and you throw into it, you're chayav melea per v'zarak l'tocha pater. But if you fill it up with fruit and you throw into it, then you're pater. Right, so I guess we see that the water is not considered a filling of sorts. I mean, the water, I guess, doesn't take this pit out of the realm realms of Chiyuv, right, the pit is still the proper size. It's just a pit with water in it. But I guess we see the fruit being in the pit as a filling for the pit itself, and we see it as a smaller pit in general. My taima, maim lo mevatla mechitata, perot mevatla mechitata. So what's the reason for that? My taima, what is the reason? Because water serves to, water will not make this any less of a pit of that size, but fruit make it less of a pit of that size. Similarly, we taught that if you throw from the water onto a common road that people travel on, then you're going to be putter, and if you throw from the road into the water, you're also going to be putter, Rabbi Shimon Omer, im yesh b'makom shezarak, amok asara v'rachav arba chayev. And Rabbi Shimon says, however, wait one second, if in the place that you threw it from or to, there's a depth of 10 by 4, right, such that you should, that it's its own domain, then you're going to be chayev, because the fact that it's filled with water doesn't mean that pit does not exist. Okay, new Mishnah. Zorek arba amot bekotel, lemala ma'asara tefachim, kezorek ba'avir, lemata ma'asara kezorek ba'aret, hazorek ba'aret arba amot chayev. Right, so this Mishnah should look very familiar to us at this point, because we've already covered it a couple times, that someone who's extending exactly 4 amot from a kotel and throws something at the wall itself 4 amot away, right? So if they throw it over 10 tvachim in the air, they're going to be, it's like they threw it fully in the air and it's a makom ptor and therefore you're potter. And if you threw it within 10 tvachim, it's like you threw it against the ground, so you're going to be chayev, because someone who throws 4 amot against the ground is going to be chayev, right? And so the Gemara asks the following question. V'halo nach. One second, it never came to rest exactly 4 amot away from you because it hit the wall. It bounced back, and now it's less than 4 amot from your position. Amar Rabbi Yochanan b'tvila shmeina shayninu. Right, so we're talking about something sticky. It's going to stick to the wall itself, like a sticky fig cake. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Chia, v'zara lemala masara v'halcha v'nacha bechor kol shehu. Banu machoch Rabbi Rameir v'rabanan. Right, and if you threw it above 10 tfachim, and then it came back and it landed in a hole in the wall, that's the subject to the machlok between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan. Rabbi Meir, the Amar Chokkin Lahashlim Chayev, the Rabbanan, the Amar En Chokkin Lahashlim Lo Mechayev. Right? So according to Rabbi Meir, who says that we see a hole that may be expanded given the depth of the wall, as if it had already been expanded to the amount that would constitute its own domain, so then you'd be Chayev because you threw it into its own domain. However, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who does not believe that we, the Rabbanan, who does not believe that we expand the hole if it could be expanded. We look at the hole that we have, and it's not big enough, so it's not its own domain. You're not going to be chayv because you didn't transfer it to domains. Basically, the machlok it is, if you have a hole in the wall, and you have enough wall that the hole could be expanded to be its own domain, then we debate whether we already see that as that big, that machloka comes up in Erevin, it's talking about a mezuzah, where if you have a doorway that kind of arches out at the end, and the arch is too thin to constitute a big enough doorway that would require a mezuzah, if there's a back wall that would allow you to expand the doorway to the proper size, there's a debate between Rabbanan and Rabbi Meir as to whether or not we already expand it because we know that it could be expanded, or if we see it as is Tan Namiachi, Zarak Lamalabasar of Alchavanacha Bechor Kolshehu, Rameir Mechayev, Chachamim Potrin. Right, similarly, we taught in Nebraita this explicitly, that we don't just assume that this is, this could be related to the machloket between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Rather, explicitly we taught in Nebraita that if you threw it over 10 Tvachim and it landed in a hole somewhere, Rabbi Meir would say you're Chayev and the Chachamim would say you're Potter. Right, Amar Rabbi Huda, Amar Rav, Tal Hamit Laket Asara Mitoch Arba, Vizarak Venach Al Gab. Okay, so if you have tail, not tal, right? So if you have a mound of dirt that is 10 tfachim high and 4 amot wide, and you threw something and it landed on top of that, you're going to be mavui midron midron mavui. So mavui is an alleyway that private domains open up into before the public domain. So you have public domain on one side, and then you have an alleyway with, on all sides, private domains open up into them, so that alleyway you're allowed to carry into on a deoraita level, but they're on a derabanan level, you're required to put something on the fourth side to kind of mark this off as a private domain. So you need either we'll see this in Erevin, you need either a crossbar on top of the opening of the alleyway or a pole on the side of the opening of the alleyway to designate this as a private area. However, if this mavoi has a slope leading down into the Rishut HaRabim or up into the Rishut HaRabim, meaning if it's higher or lower than the Rishut HaRabim, and there is a slope in order to reach the mavoi, it's not on the same level, there's an incline, then it doesn't require a lechi or a kura, the crossbeam or the pole, because that slope constitutes a wall in and of itself. Granted that the slope is at least 10 tfachim higher than the Rishut HaRabim or lower than the Rishut HaRabim, and spans a total of 4 amot in the decline or the incline, right? And that would constitute its own domain, such that it would be seen as separate from the Rishut HaRabim. Rav Chanina ben Gamliel Omer Tel Hamitlaket Asara Mitoch Arba.
Why
is it? It's interesting, right? Because we introduced that idea about the mavoi as a tani nami hachi, which means that we taught the same exact thing in a braita, but that's not exactly what we said. We were talking about a mound, right? That gathered dirt and then was big enough to be considered its own domain, not a mavoi. So we have to keep looking, continue on to the braita. We only brought it in for this reason, not for the thing that I was explaining. But the mavoi, we only brought it in to mention that Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel says the exact same thing about a mound that is 10 tefachim high and 4 amot wide, that it constitutes its own domain. You throw on top of it, you're going to be chayev. New mishnah, zarak latoch 4 amot, v'ngagel chutz la 4 amot, pater. Right, so if you throw within 4 amot, right, you want it to land within 4 amot, and then it starts rolling, and it leaves the 4 amot area, you're pater, because it's not considered like you threw it more than 4 amot. Chutz la 4 amot, v'ngagel latoch 4 amot, chayev. And if you threw it outside 4 amot, and then it rolled back within in the 4 amot, there you're going to be chayev, right? Because you threw it outside the 4 amot. The halonach, one second, it never came to rest outside the 4 amot. Don't you need a proper hanacha in order to be chayev? I'm Rabbi Yochanan, v'hushanacha gavim ashu. So Rabbi Yochanan says, we're talking about a case where it did rest for a second, and then the wind kind of blew it back. Tana nami hachi, v'zarak chutz la 4 amot, v'dachavto haruach, v'chnisato, v'afapi, shechazra, v'otziato, pater. Right, so if you threw it outside 4 amot, and the wind pushed it back in, and brought it into the Dalet Amot, right? So even if afterward you come and take it out, you're going to be pater. Achazto haruach mashu afal pi shechazra v'chnisato chayv. Right? So if the wind picked up something and brought it back in, so even though it brought it back in, if the wind kind of caught the object and the object was not constantly in motion, but just kind of suspended there for a second, that's considered its hanacha, and then it pushes it back in, you're still going to be chayef. Amar Rava, toch shalosha l'rabanan tzarech hanacha agabi mashu. Right, so within, if something is within 3 tzvachim of the ground, still, the Rabbanan require a hanacha, right? It can't just be within 3 tefachim of the ground. It has to actually rest somewhere. Yativ marema v'kamar la hashemata. So, amar le Ravina le maremar. So, maremar, relay that teaching. Ravina said to maremar, lav hainu matnitin, meaning don't we have that from an explicit mishnah? Why did we need that additional teaching of Rava? We can assume from an explicit mishnah that the Chachamim would require this. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the Hushanacha Gabe Mashu. Rabbi Yochanan says explicitly that it needs to, the Rabbi Yochanan comments on our Mishnah and says that it needs to come to a rest. It needs to be Nach al Mashu. The Rava then needs to say that, oh, by the way, even if it's within 3 Tvachim, it needs to rest on something. We already know that it needs to rest on something. We already learned that. Amar Le, Mitgalgel Ka Amarta, Mitgalgel Ein Sofa Lanuach, Aval Hai, Kivan Sofa Lanuach, Aval Gav, Delo Nach, Kamandanach Dame. Right? So no, Rabbi Yochanan was talking about a case
of rolling, right? So rolling, it actually never came to a rest, right? It's just going to continue rolling. However, we're not talking about rolling. We're talking about something that was kind of suspended there by the wind. So that's about to drop. It's just about to drop, right? It's not. There's no more momentum on there. So you might say that because there's still momentum on the thing rolling, we don't see it as if it stopped. However, if something is in the exact place it's going to fall to, and there's no momentum, it had just not yet fallen. You might assume that we see it as if it has already fallen, right? What's the nafka mina there? Let's say if it was suspended there in midair and someone grabbed it and didn't let it fall. How would we see that? How would we see that case? If you wanted to say that because it's about to fall, we see it as if it's already fallen, then you'd still be chayev even if someone took it out beforehand. But if you say that no, it must absolutely come to a rest, it doesn't matter if it's going to come to a rest, then you would still be putter in that case, right? So for that reason, it's not, you can't learn from Rabbi Yochanan. For that reason, you can't learn from Rabbi Yochanan saying that you need a hanacha while something is rolling, and learn out from there that similarly you would need a hanacha, when something is floating in midair, suspended by the wind. The two are very different. The rolling thing is still carrying on its momentum, and it doesn't actually, it's not about to stop at any one of those places, whereas something carried by the wind is literally just about to fall, kamash malan. That's why Rav needed to teach you that they are the same case, because you had a havamina that they weren't the same case, because one of them has still momentum and it's rolling, and one of them does not. New Mishnah. Hazorik b'yam arba amot pater. Right, if you throw four amot within the water, you're pater. Imaya rakak ma'im rushut rabim mahalechet bo. Hazorik tocho arba amot chayv. If you remember this, we also saw this early on in the Masechta. Right, this Mishnah quoted elsewhere. Right, so if there was a pool of water that the rushut rabim passed through, hazorik tocho arba amot chayv. If someone throws four amot into that pool, it's going to be chayv because the rushut rabim still walk through it. V'chamahu rakak. So what's considered a pool of water? Less than 4 tefachim. It's really, it's like a puddle almost. It's less than 10 tefachim. Beyond 10 tefachim is no longer considered a puddle. Rakak mayim rishut rabim mahalechet bo. And if you have a puddle of water and the public domain passes through it, hazork b'tocho arba amot chayev. Someone throws in it, 4 amot is chayev. Now if you didn't notice, we were a little bit repetitive there. The Gemara is going to address that. The Gemara. Okay, I understand why you taught me two different times that the idea of a public domain passing through a puddle. Right? Because you had to teach me something by teaching me it twice. First of all, you're teaching me that that if a public domain passes through a puddle, even though people do not want to walk through a puddle, still it's considered like a public domain. I mean, you may have thought to say, well, no one wants to walk through there, so it's a public domain is something that the rabbin walk through. No one wants to walk through a puddle, and therefore I'm not going to see it like a public domain, right? Tashmish al yedei adchak lo shmei tashmish, right? So what you need to teach me is as follows, right? That that if a puddle passes through it, the reason you taught me it twice is as follows. If a puddle passes through the Rishut HaRabim, or if Rishut HaRabim passes through the puddle, we still see it as a Rishut HaRabim, right? Now, why would you teach me that again? To emphasize that is a unique din by Rishut HaRabim. In what way? Because Tashmish al yedei adchak lo shmei tashmish, right? So because if something is only used... If something is not normally used, or something is burdensome to be used, then that does not consider a proper use, right? Like if you have a hiding place in the Rishut HaRabim, that's very not useful to use that hiding place or that storage place, then that does not turn that storage place into a Rishut HaRabim, because even though it could be used and it's in the Rishut HaRabim, it's not convenient to use. In which case, the lack of convenience in this Rishut HaRabim nullifies its status as a Rishut HaRabim altogether. And so you may have thought that I would apply the same to a puddle in Rishut HaRabim, that if you have to walk through the puddle in order to traverse the Rishut HaRabim, then I'm going to say, well, that's not a convenient way of walking, therefore the Rabim aren't really going to do it, and therefore I shouldn't see it as Rishut HaRabim. And so the reason I taught you twice about walking through the puddle is to teach you that this is a unique din by Rishut HaRabim, where even though it's inconvenient, the masses still do it, in which case it's still considered a Rishut HaRabim. Unique din for walking through, which does not apply to other examples of Rishut HaRabim, like inconvenient uses of the Rishut HaRabim. El rakak rakak trezim ni lamali. But I still have the following question. You could have taught me two inconvenient ways of walking in the Rishut HaRabim. From there, I would learn that it was a unique din by Rishut HaRabim by walking through it, that even if it's an inconvenient way of walking through it, it is still considered a Rishut HaRabim. All right? But you could have taught me two different cases of inconvenient walking in the Rishut HaRabim. You could have taught me you're walking through a puddle, or you're walking through over hurdles. I don't know, some other inconvenient way of walking. You tell me that they're both considered Rishut HaRabim, and therefore, you're going to be chayev for bringing into it, for throwing into it. I guess hurdles wouldn't be a good example because they're not their own domain, but any other thing in Rishut HaRabim that would make it an inconvenient place to walk, but still people would walk there. You could have taught me two different cases. From the fact that you taught me two different cases, I would have learned that this is a unique din by passing through Rishut HaRabim, by walking, and that inconvenient use of a Rishut HaRabim as like a storage facility would not be the case by there. And you didn't need to teach me both times that we're talking about puddles. You need to teach me two different cases, and then I'll learn two different things, but I understand why you repeated the case of passing through Rishut HaRabim. I don't understand why you said puddle both times. Right? No, so here's why I need to teach you twice, because one is a reference to Yomot HaChama, and one is a reference to Yomot HaGshamim. Right? One is for the summer months, and one is for the winter months. And I need to teach you it twice, so that you know that this is the case, both for the summer months and the winter months, because you couldn't learn one from the other. Right? You wouldn't assume either one, you couldn't learn one from the other, because they each have a reason why you would not learn one from the other. Utsiricha, the Itana Chada, Hava Amina, Hanimili Yomot HaChama, the Avide Inji, the Maski, the Akure Navshayhu. Aval Yomot HaGshamim, lo. Because if I only taught you one time, you may have said, oh, well, which one time is that referring to? That must only be talking about the summer months, where people want to walk through pools, because it's going to cool them off. In which case, even though it's a little bit inconvenient, the masses still pass through the pool in order to cool themselves off. In which case, that is the case the Mishnah is talking about, but it's only in the summer months, and in the winter months, when people are not interested in cooling themselves off, it's inconvenient, and therefore it would nullify the status of Rishut HaRabim, and I would assume that in the winter months, that it would no longer be considered a Rishut HaRabim. And if I just would have taught you one case, and you may have assumed that we're talking about the rainy months, davka, the rainy months, because you're already dirty, right? Everything's dirty and muddy and yucky in the rainy months, and your boots are filled with mud, and you're wearing the proper shoes for it, and that's and so what does it matter to you to pass through a puddle? But the summer months, you're wearing nice clothing, nothing's dirty, nothing's muddy, you're not going to want to pass through the puddle, it's inconvenient. And so I would have assumed, if you taught me one time, maybe I would have assumed we're talking about the rainy months, because people are not worried about getting dirty, but I wouldn't have assumed the same for the summer months. And that's why I taught you the puddle case two times, to tell you both in the summer months and in the winter months. And so not only did I need to teach you the case of passing through twice, to teach you that it's a unique din by Rishut HaRabim that people still walk through, that it's still considered Rishut HaRabim, even though it's inconvenient, unlike the storage facility in the Rishut HaRabim, which is considered inconvenient, and therefore it nullifies its status as Rishut HaRabim. And I need to teach you two times with a pool to tell you both in the summer months and the rainy months, because you would not have assumed that had I not taught you both of those things. Here's the second answer. Amar Abaye Amar Itzricha Tzalkadaitach Amina Hani Mili Hacha Delohave Arba Amot Aval Hecha Dehave Arba Amot Akufe Makvile. Right? So I need to teach you twice, because you may have assumed that if I only taught you once, that's only talking about a case where it is not 4 amot wide, 4 amot big. Right? However, if it is 4 amot big, right, then people are going to walk around it. If people are going to be walking around it when it's 4 amot big, then certainly that's considered an inconvenient that people would not generally use, in which case it would nullify its Rishut HaRabim status, right? So we must only have been talking about a puddle that was smaller than Arba Amot, that people didn't have to walk around, right? So the fact that I taught you twice, I tell you whether it was 4 amot or not. Rav Ashi Amar, Itzricha Tzalkadaitach Hamina, Hani Mili, Hachadahava, Arba Tifa. Right. So, and if I only alternatively, I may have taught you twice to tell you that if I only taught you once, you would have assumed that if it's less than 4 tefachim, then you could just Sorry, I interpreted the other one a little bit incorrectly. 4 amot meant that you walk around it. It's not an inconvenience. You just walk around it. You don't need to take an alternative route. You just walk around it because it's very small. In which case, it's not an inconvenience, but it's still considered a Rishut HaRabim. And then the third explanation is that it's only 4 tefachim. You can just hop right over it. But if it was more 4 tefachim, you couldn't hop right over it, then maybe that's inconvenient. It would nullify its Rishut HaRabim status. That is why I taught you these things twice, in order so that you know that, no, we're not just talking about talking about 4 tefachim, even more than 4 tefachim that you couldn't hop over. And I'm not just talking about 4 amot, even more than 4 amot that you couldn't just walk around. Still, if you had to walk through it, it's still going to be considered a Rishut HaRabim, doesn't nullify the Rishut HaRabim status. And Rav Ashi follows his own shita, his own logic here, from that which he taught, that it's someone who throws an object and it lands on like a loose board in a bridge. bridge, he's still chayev. Sharei harabim bokim bo. Right? Because even though the loose board in the bridge, you know, you may want to say that people don't really want to walk on the loose board. It's not sound. It's not comfortable to walk on the loose board. They'd rather walk on the fastened ones. Still, people do walk on them. So if the bridge is big enough to be considered reshut harabim, then we don't take that board out of the reshut harabim status because people still walk on them, and therefore, even though it's not a convenient way of walking, people still walk on them. Therefore, it's still considered a reshut harabim. We're going to stop here.